Well, now looking at violence on Kansas City streets as a public health problem, our guest has applied lessons learned from more than a decade fighting epidemics to the creation of something called Cure Violence, a public health approach to violence reduction. The Centers for Disease Control is said to have validated the approach, and he's here to talk about it. Dr. Gary Slutkin is an epidemiologist who focuses on violence reduction. He's founder and executive director of Cure Violence, formerly known as Ceasefire. He previously served as medical director for the San Francisco Health Department and worked for the World Health Organization. Cure Violence is being replicated in more than 30 sites in 15 U.S. cities. In Kansas City, it's called Aim for Peace, is based on this program, and it started in the East Patrol Division. And Dr. Slutkin, so good to have you back again.
Thanks Welcome. Very much. Great to be with you, Steve.
And joining Gary is Rex Archer. He's director of health for Kansas City, Missouri. And Rex, always good to have you, too.
Good to be here, Steve.
Well, Gary, when you talk about, you know, treating violence as a disease, what are you talking about?
Well, first of all, violence actually fits all of the characteristics of a disease. In fact, even the dictionary definition that it has characteristic signs and symptoms and an aberration of function and so on. And even more importantly is the fact that it's contagious. And that is also what the science has revealed to us. We have now over 40 or 50 years of understanding all behaviors as contagious. But now we know much more about violence itself and how being exposed to it causes people to be more likely to do it. And also people who have been traumatized by it are more likely to do it.
And people don't think of it that way, though.
You're exactly right. And that's why we've been having so much difficulty in treating it appropriately. We've been thinking about it more in this morality realm rather than into a scientific realm. We've been thinking about it as bad people rather than having it be an unconscious, contagious process.
And that's why you say the whole epidemic of gun violence in this country has been, in your words, completely misunderstood.
Misdiagnosed.
Mm-hmm.
Misdiagnosed as a situation of bad people, which is also the way that we used to think about mental illness or seizures, even cancers. We used to think these were bad people. Plague, we used to put people in dungeons before we understood what was really going on. And so this liberates us to develop a new vocabulary and a new set of methods. And that's what Aim for Peace is doing. It's developing this new set of methods that interrupts the transmission, prevents the spread, changes behaviors. That's why we're getting these strong reductions now.
So, but getting people to think about criminals, bad guys, I'm putting air quotes around the word bad guys, as something other than bad guys, that's going to be a tough sell.
Yeah, it is. It's because, first off, we don't use the word criminals anymore. We see it actually as name-calling.
Hmm.
I mean, the Jews were called names, Japanese were called names. In Rwanda, one group was called names. I think criminals is almost like name-calling. And it diminishes the person, and it allows people to then put into place all kinds of negative things and justify it. So we actually embargo this word now. But yes, I agree with you that I'm now trying to tell people that a whale is a mammal.
Yeah.
But it looks to you that it's a fish.
Yeah.
But in fact, it has all of the characteristics of a contagious process, and this has been validated by the Institute of Medicine and the National Academy of Sciences. There have been dozens of studies on this now as a contagious process and thousands of studies of violence as a health issue. We need to look at this and treat this through a health lens. The people who have the problem of violence, they have a health problem.
Let's see if Dr. Rex Archer, the Director of Health for Kansas City, Missouri, validates this approach. What do you think, Rex? You're the man on this issue in this town.
I mean, it's absolutely correct, and that's why the success of this model has worked in the 15 cities and now 8 countries internationally that it's being implemented.
So you want to be police chiefs, what you're saying?
No. No. When you label a particular individual in a category, it also makes it more difficult for that person to get out of that category. But by acknowledging that we learn these behaviors, why is it that people that are abused as they're growing up, who know exactly what that feels like, are more likely to abuse their own kids. It's because the violent behavior is actually learned. And so the unlearning of that behavior, though, takes skilled professionals who can work with those folks on a regular basis to change that behavior. It doesn't happen just magically overnight.
And Rex, just to be clear here, as we've talked about this program in the past, in the East Patrol Division has been trying some elements of this, if I understand correctly. What has Kansas City done along these lines, and how has it worked?
It's been working very well.
You wouldn't know it from the homicide rate, though, Rex.
We would in the area that we're working.
Okay.
See, that's the one of the challenges is that if you have 100 people with bacterial pneumonia, and you only have enough to treat five folks, if you look at the overall rate of cure, it may not change very much statistically, but in those five folks, you can make a big difference. So, as an example, in East Patrol in Sector 330, in calendar year 2010, 2011, and 2012, there was around 14 to 16 homicides each of those 3 years. We had less than half of that this last year in 2013 when we got the dosage of the program up in that sector. So that's one of the reasons that the Department of Justice, we were one of six applicants out of 62 that were funded to expand this program now out of Sector 330 into part of two other sectors in East Patrol.
And you're doing what? We're talking about the theory here. In practice, what does this mean in Sector 330? What are you doing?
Well, we're interrupting the violence.
Meaning what? Excuse me, don't tap on the shoulder. Please don't use that weapon this evening. I
mean. There are several ways to describe this, and Dr. Slutkin can also describe it nationally here. But the trained intervention folks have their pulse on the community. As they hear things are starting to heat up, they find out. People call them. They're trusted in the community. They show up to help teach people how to de-escalate the violence, which starts out often rhetorically and then moves on to physical. When they show up in these areas now, people are often saying, oh, good, Aim for Peace is here, because it helps them. They're still in that learning curve of how to unlearn the more aggressive behavior and to change that.
And Dr. Slutkin, these people are called violence interrupters. That's the label that your group gives them. And they're sort of like reporters keeping tabs on what's going on in their community and trying to respond as proactively as they can, if I understand right.
They're really health workers. And health workers have to determine what's going on and what needs to be done to improve the situation. So like Dr. Archer was saying, have it in your mind that in Kansas City neighborhoods all the time, there's disputes going on. Someone slept with somebody's girlfriend. Someone looked at somebody's girl. Someone is upset. They feel that they were disrespected. Someone's going to use a gun. Nothing's happened yet. There's been no crime. So there's no, the police have no business so far.
But the vibrations are bouncing all over the place.
Plus, these interrupters, they're extremely carefully selected and very highly trained. So they are taking the pulse in very specific ways to determine what happened at the party last night. Is anything really going on? Are there any threats going on? And then they can go directly to those spots, just like a SARS worker or bird flu worker can go to those spots and prevent the event or the spread. And that's because they've been trained in how to do persuasion, how to cool people down, how to buy time,
how to
reframe. They're experts at this. They're
professional. These are full-time employees?
Yes. Some of them are part-time, but for the most part, they're full-time, very carefully selected, supported, supervised, document their work. They've done dozens to hundreds of interruptions. They've probably done one or two or three last night. And then they maintain a contact with those very high-risk people because, yes, they've prevented the event, but they are now identified as people who might have been able to do this negative behavior. So we need to now change their thinking more substantially. So the interrupters then, and with the help of the behavior change agents or outreach workers, which is another category of worker that Aim for Peace uses, they then change behaviors and change the norms so that they shift themselves into, well, the next time there is an insult, I think differently. I wouldn't do that anymore. And that's and these guys are actually trained in the very special topic of behavior change, which is a specialty.
Rex Archer, this is a whole new way of approaching police work. This is front-end stuff instead of back-end stuff when it's too late and the body's always already on the street, right?
Well, yeah, we wouldn't even call it police work in a sense, because we're basically saying that people learn from each other, and they can unlearn behaviors that aren't helpful for a community, and they can learn to be supportive of each other and move forward. But that learning doesn't always happen just in one event. It takes time. It takes a skilled professional that can help these people move through that kind of cognitive change.
And these skilled professionals need to come from the community, from the neighborhood, right? These aren't people coming in from here from Des Moines, right?
Absolutely. There are folks that are already known in that neighborhood that actually may have been part of that violent problem in the past and have made that transformation themselves and now want to not only maintain their own nonviolent behavior, but they want to help others through that transformation. A part that we also do outside of Sector 330, our folks are part of the Truman system in regards to the response for trauma. And because whenever anybody is shot or stabbed, the chances that they may want to retaliate or that friends or family members of them will retaliate. So we're called in by the hospital to help calm things down, to get people to think about, you know, if you retaliate, then they're going to retaliate and another one of you is going to be harmed, and that's not the way to go.
Viewing violence as a healthcare issue is our topic today. Our phone number here, 816-235-2888. Again, 816-235-2888. Our email address is up to date at kcur.org, or you can tweet us at kcur up to date. Pat from Overland Park. Pat, good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call. The CDC has been impeded from doing gun violence research by pressure from the NRA. I wonder how this affects the practice-based research that doctors are referring to in trying to ascertain effective community interventions.
Hmm. Dr. Slutkin?
Well, this is all part of thank you for that question, Pat. This is all part of, in a way, a misunderstanding or a misuse of the or a lack of fully understanding how powerful the health sector can be.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a particular idea about how this problem should be managed, which is not yet taken into account that the health departments have this very specific role that Dr. Archer is doing, and Tracy McClendon Cole and Aim for Peace, that the community has a very specific role that is health worker-based, and that the hospitals have a very specific role. And so the CDC and the people in the CDC, they know this very well. But we're out of balance between the criminal justice responses and the health responses. And what we're trying—
That the police response is still huge and the health response doesn't have as many people working on it.
Well, it's like a factor of 10,000 difference.
Right.
And what we're just trying to do is to get the health sector's involvement, you know, somewhat closer to being in balance, because there's a way into this problem from the health side that can add tremendously. That's why they're getting 50% drops here in the Aim for Peace zone. We're seeing 40 to 70% drops, even by Department of Justice studies done on the health approach.
But Gary, you're talking about hiring a lot of people to do this kind of work. That's a lot of money, isn't it?
This is such a small amount of money compared to not doing it.
In what sense?
It's costing taxpayers in Kansas City in the hundreds of millions of dollars to not be doing this, from hospital costs, prison costs, court costs, prosecutor costs, defender costs.
I get it.
Costs. Intensive care unit, emergency room, chest tubes, neurosurgeons, the health side, all the sides of this. This is extraordinarily costly. One single shooting frequently costs $1 million.
My gosh. So if you could wave a magic wand, Gary, and look at Kansas City, Missouri, how many of these workers, these health workers, would you like to have, violence interrupters in our city doing the work you'd want them to do?
Aim for Peace should have over 100 workers.
Have today what?
What is it? It's Frex?
It's around 12 to
15.
Around 12
and it's
to
15 going up
right
to,
now.
It's going up to 20 or 30 because of the Justice Department grant. I should just say something. You know, the Department of Justice has recognized this approach, the health approach. They themselves are using public health approaches. They themselves are funding the health approach here in Kansas City, mm-hmm. which is no small deal. It's recognizing the health approach, it's recognizing Kansas City, and it's recognizing the effectiveness of Aim for Peace. But they need 100 workers to be able to cover about 80. Right now they're covering, you know, 20, 25% of the city's needs, and they really need to cover 80 to 90%.
How many do you have in Chicago?
It's about 100, and mm-hmm. even in Chicago, it's only about 25 or 30%. Same thing in most cities that are doing this, it still hasn't reached the full coverage level and the whole power that it needs. It's kind of like a new vaccine in which there isn't enough of it yet. But the scaling up could happen in 2 or 3 years.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I noticed in Chicago that the number of homicides there between 2012 and 2013 dropped by almost exactly 100. Does that say something here or not?
Yeah, I mean, and in the zones where the cure violence approach was used, the amount of reduction was substantially greater mm-hmm. than in other areas. And there were hundreds of interruptions done, I think over 600 in Chicago.
Let's go back to some phone calls here. Frank from Lawrence. Frank, you're on Up to Date. Good morning.
Yeah, thanks. My question is, how are these violence interrupters chosen? How do you advertise for them? And it almost sounds like your description would imply that they are former, what you won't call, criminals. I'll take the answer off the air. Thank
yeah,
you.
Good question, Frank. Gary?
Yeah, I'll take it. So there are several aspects to this. They are hired primarily for their ability to have access and credibility and trust. Because when one person is talking to one person, one of the first things that that person is asking himself in his own mind is this person one of me? Or somebody else? Do
outsider.
I trust him?
Yeah.
Do
mm-hmm.
I know him? Is he talking to me in my own interest? It's very important for the human mind when someone's trying to convince anybody of anything. And so it's a standard method and technology in all aspects of health and public health that you hire people from the group that you're trying to reach in order to get effectiveness, refugees to reach refugees, sex workers to reach sex workers, moms to reach moms. But then it goes way beyond that, because after the selection, you have to do a lot of training and support, documenting of work, and then you have a new workforce.
And Rex Archer, I imagine you've seen this process work with your own eyes.
Well, absolutely. And as you go through that process, some of the individuals that have made this commitment to nonviolence and are trying to help others make the change, when they're back in that element, they start to slide back. And so the process does have to be pretty intense. We have to do a lot of screening, working with them. And there have been times when folks have moved back into that element and then they're no longer employed by us because of that challenge. But this is such a critical activity, and there's so much training that goes on with these folks. And to see when they show up on a scene, people saying, oh, Aim for Peace is here. Help us de-escalate this problem. It's really rewarding.
You know, we'll put a link up on our webpage if folks want more information about this entire program. Dr. Gary Slutkin, epidemiologist who focuses on violence reduction. He's founder and executive director of Cure Violence. And Gary, nice to have you here again.
Thank you,
good
Steve.
Message that people need to hear. Rex Archer, director of Department of Health here. Always good to have you too, Rex.